So this is episode 14 of the Antarctic Cast.
14?
14, yeah. And tonight with me I have Sebastian. Sebastian is the other electronics engineer in the station. So he is my buddy at work. And now I have a couple questions for him. So Sebastian, have you been to Antarctica before? How many times?
In Antarctica was one, and in Arctica I was also one.
And whereabouts in Antarctica were you in the last time you came?
I was on the King George Island, it's South Shetlands. And in general I was on the Arctowski Antarctic Station, in Polish Station.
Okay, and did you spend there the whole year, just the summer? How was your experience there?
On Arctowski I spent overwintering, so means I was there by 1 year.
And did you go by plane or by boat? How does the Polish base work?
In general, Polish base haven't their own ship or their own plane. So for long years we cooperated with Polar Pioneer. It is a Russian vessel, but the armator is Australian. We go by this ferry with the cargo by this ship. It takes from Punta Arenas around 10 days. It depends from the weather.
And how many people were you at the station?
The main crew. At summer is around 20. It depends from what we have to do in the year. Like if we have some big renovation, we must take more people or less. But normally it's around 20. At winter it's around 8.
8 people.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned that you are the other electronics engineer in the station. What's your background? What did you study or what did you work before with?
In general, I'm growing up with the electronics. So when I had the 6 years old, I still soldering iron for my father. And it was start. But after primary school, I go to the college. Is the correct name?
High school.
Not the study, but between the study and primary school.
High school.
High school. Yeah. The high school of electronics, and I think it was the best part of my life. Like it was. Very nice teachers, very like old one, but they work several years in the servicing, repairing all the old stuff like radios and other things. And after that, I go to the study, also for the electronics. Then I work like the automation engineer. And now I'm here.
And you, since we discussed that you've been to Antarctica before. What made you come back to Antarctica? What did you like the most in your previous season?
It's totally different because what I love in Antarctica is the wildlife. And there is no wildlife here.
You mean like the animals, the seals, the penguins, the birds?
Yeah, we had the penguin colony around 1 kilometer from the station. It was 5,000 Adélie penguins. Mm-hmm. For example, fur seals just coming to our station and watching for us, hundreds of birds, so I felt like National Geographic movie, and it was the coolest thing. Like you are at the middle of maybe not the jungle, but you are feel crowded from the animals, and it was the essential thing.
Mm-hmm. And now you are in a different type of environment. Halle is a bit more inside the continent, if you will, like in a latitude closer to the pole. And here there are not animals. But what kind of nature did you find here that you like it?
Emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like in the desert. So I think it is the point. Like in general, I work here with my own things. Like there is not so many places that you can go out, for example, for the weekend, like on the Arctoski. You have a time to do your own things.
Okay, since you mentioned that, what do you like to do in your free time in the station?
I have a radio operator, a ham radio operator, so I hang my antenna. Here I bring my radio and antenna and all things that I need in my backpack. Mm-hmm. So I take less socks and so other things.
And for people that don't know what amateur radio operator means, can you describe a bit? How does it work?
So, very short, like each person have his own personal call sign, like maybe not like the name, but like if you mix name and surname, it looks like you're only one person on the world.
Like your unique ID code.
Yeah, yeah. Each ham radio operator has his own radio operator code, and it's depends from which country you are. Like for example, from Poland, the letters from the call sign starts from Sierra Quebec or Sierra Papa. For example, Argentina is Lima Uniform. Mm-hmm. So, if somebody gives you his call sign, you know from which country they are. On Antarctica, we had another call sign, Victor Papa 8 Hotel Alpha Lima. Victor Papa is general call sign from the Falkland Islands.
Mm-hmm. Which is the nearest place to here?
Yeah, we can say that. And in general, it's the people from all around the world searching to interesting places that he can talk with people. So
you mean they act like a community in some sense?
Yeah. For example, my radio, it is not my radio because I asked on the internet forum people that somebody can give me a lighter radio to Halle because I have too heavy radio. Mm-hmm. And people say, sure man, just take it. And if you could come back, just give back the radio. So yeah, it's a community.
That sounds actually pretty cool. I did not know. And so when you're not in the radio, what other things do you like to do in your free time in the station?
I think I'm here quite close person mm-hmm. for the outside and other people. Because I have lots of things to do, like I decide to learn how to stitching a movies. Mm-hmm. So I have a GoPro and trying to make some movies from the GoPro. I also want to prepare PCB board, the project of PCB board of tube amplifier that I want to probably I will create them this amplifier in Cambridge. But here I want to spend time for make a good project mm-hmm. of tube amplifier. What's more, I think that I want to learn maybe the snowboard mm-hmm. or kite. We try to kite with each other. It was also quite interesting.
Yeah, it was also the day we built Igloo, which was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, sure.
And from the science point of view, you were involved in some projects during the time at Halle. What is your favorite project and what is it about?
Favorite project? For sure the microturbine.
Microturbine. Can you explain to the listeners what the microturbine is about?
Yeah, in general, did you explain how Halle was moved?
No, I think I didn't, but feel free to explain again.
It's a long story.
Yeah. Well, Halle was moved.
Okay, Halle was moved, and the problem was that is that people cannot winter here. And normally Halle have diesel generators, like each station on the Antarctica. But diesel generators has this problem, that they must be servicing each 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because you must change the oil filters, oils, and any bearings, for example, in the fuel pumps and all, etc. Science didn't know how to solve this problem, because a station must be powered. And 2 years ago they had the idea that they can buy a microturbine based on the jet engine.
Like a plane turbine.
Yes. What is the best in these engines? That the time between next servicing is around 11 months, because they haven't a bearings. In general, they have a bearings, like air bearings, because they spin very fast, like 20,000 rotate per minute. The force created inside mixed with the compressed air gives like aero bearings, and this is a very interesting idea that this project must be managed from Cambridge, so all things must be do remotely from Cambridge, and also power management, data management, and lots of things.
Just to give an intuition of what Sebastian is explaining, most of the time the station is unmanned, so there is nobody here. So you have to be able to command in all senses, in sense of power, network, or whatever commands you want to send to the microturbine, even remotely from Cambridge. And for those of you that are less familiar with the terms bearings, so you can just think about a part that is a mobile part. So the microturbine have less mobile parts than a traditional generator, we could say that, right?
Yeah, also they don't have oil, like lubricants.
It's a simpler system.
Yeah, that sense. You don't need to exchange this oil filters and other things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what are your part in this project?
Not so deep yet, but I hope so it will be changed. But for now, I must install a new fuel temperature sensors and also make some redundancy of this sensor.
Mm-hmm.
I exchange some model of collecting the data. We bring them from the Cambridge. It's bigger one, just to collect more data. And also in this season, I must take measurements of huge tanks, like 20,000 liters. We must calculate how many liters change the current on the sensor. It's quite hard to explain in simply words. There is a sensors that they have a current loop for 0 to 20 milliamps, and you must calculate how many liters are per 1 milliamps.
But basically the objective is to be able to measure the consumption of the turbine when we're not here, right?
Yeah, and the biggest problem now is to measure a leakage. Mm-hmm. We don't have a leakage. We have double covered tanks, but the problem is that between 1 amp and second amp, milliamp, the resolution is around 100 liters, and this mm-hmm. is the problem, that 100 liters is a quite a lot leak.
So
we try to solve this problem now.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I hope so.
One question I like to ask for people in the show that I'm interviewing is if there are any scientific fact or any fact about Antarctica that listeners might not know. So one thing that you find curious about working in Antarctica, living in Antarctica, or just being here, it could be something to do with the light or with the weather or with the how behavior, whatever you find it interesting in Antarctica.
What is the frozen point of oceanic water?
I think it depends on the salinity, but I would say -1.7.
Yeah, it's lower than the zero.
It's lower than zero, yeah, yeah, for sure.
So maybe this one?
Mm-hmm. And just to give an intuition about temperatures, today we have a very warm day, and I think currently we have around 0 degrees, or maybe, yeah. In some days here we had -5, and with the wind maybe feel like -10.
Yeah.
Until now a very warm season, right?
You told about wind chill?
No.
It is quite interesting that even -5, if you have -5 and it's for example 10 knots of wind, it's not the -5, but -15, for example. And if wind is very strong, even you have -5, you can feel like -50. So yeah, it's very dangerous, like, because the weather here is changing very fast, so you must be prepared for that.
Yeah, even when we arrive in the station, one of the advice, which is basically an order, is that you always have clothes on you, at least in your bag, if you don't want to wear them because it's too warm, because the weather might change, especially if you go far away. So if we go skiing to the clean air sector lab, CAS lab, or to the electric magnetic quiet area, we always should bring a bag with clothes, because the weather you went out might not necessarily be the weather you come back.
Yeah, true.
And I don't know, anything else you want to share with the listeners? Any final remarks?
I don't have idea really.
Okay, so this was Sebastian with me. Thanks a lot, Sebastian, for being in the show, and thanks everyone for hearing, for listening, and then see you guys in the next one.